Welcome to The More Perfect Union, a podcast about the joy we get from American politics, or as we like to call it, real debate without the hate. Hi, I'm Emily. I'm a moderate Republican from Virginia.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'll be your liberal Democrat from Cincinnati, Ohio.
I'm DJ, your conservative libertarian from Virginia.
I'm Kevin. I am a conservative Democrat in Southern California, near hell, because it's in Santa Clarita where the fires are raging just 2 miles from me.
And I'm Cliff, and I am also a Republican from Virginia.
So you can find us on the web at moreperfectunionpodcast.com, plus blogs and commentary. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/moreperfectunionpodcast, and please rate and review us on iTunes. And if you get a chance, share us on Facebook. And if you'd like to sponsor our podcast, you can send us a little shout on Facebook, and we can get that set up as well. So, guys, we've had a pretty interesting week. And by the way, a little snippet to what Kevin said. I think the fire is actually Debbie Wasserman Schultz's career going up in flames. We'll talk about that later.
No, I think that's a bigger fire. This is just a little smoldering flame compared to her career. But we'll talk about that later.
You beat me to it, because I thought that was part of the new Republican platform on wildlife.
So, Emily and Cliff, the RNC this week. We want to hear from you. We want to hear about your experience.
So, I will first tell you that I was heavily intoxicated for many nights of the convention, and I rocked myself to sleep in a corner quietly. I kid. No, it was great. It was a great opportunity. You know, there's a lot of, just very unique people you get to meet. I got to meet Ambassador Bolton, ran into Ben Carson, Chris Christie, a couple other people. You know, it's kind of nice to see people in front of you and meet them. And even though Trump is the nominee and he was not my first nor even my last choice, it was very interesting to hear the speeches and to see where the platform went from night to night. They had a theme each night, and I was very shocked and surprised and yet pleased, although I think he said a ton of things that I disagree with. The one thing that stood out for me that Trump did say in his speech in the closing night is that he would stand up for the LGBT community, which is the first I've ever heard in the Republican Party at that level. So at least I can give him kudos for that.
I got to say, that was the only part of the entire week that I liked. But I thought that was a classy moment, too, especially when he acknowledged it.
I love how each night was, you know, make something America something again. And, you know, I love branding, and I just remember thinking, I wonder what tomorrow night's going to be.
you were dealing with a consummate showman setting this up. It was one of the most well-crafted conventions I've ever seen.
Okay, so Cliff, what was it like for you there?
Okay, I was an alternate delegate from Virginia, which actually meant that I got to pinch hit on the floor a couple of times for my delegation because people have to go to the bathroom, people show up late, etc. It was exciting. Monday was very interesting from the perspective of, you know, hearing the ayes and nays called and the call of the chair and the call of the floor not always lining up. I was honestly flabbergasted on Wednesday night when I almost couldn't believe my ears when I was hearing the boos rising from the audience because these people had cheered Ted Cruz when he took the stage.
Right. Well, you know that was planted, right? You know that they created those boos on purpose, right?
I hadn't heard that, but it wouldn't. On the one hand, it wouldn't surprise me. On the other hand, given how things were going and given how the week had gone, it wouldn't surprise me if it was at least half spontaneous.
Let me throw in this real quick, and specifically from our delegation, but it did make national news, is our former Attorney General, Ken Cuccinelli, who, I mean, I watched his career go up in flames, not that he cared, but they started to do what's called a roll call 39 vote, I believe it is. Is that correct, Cliff?
It was a roll call vote, and I think it's either Rule 39 or Rule 40.
Yep, that's what it is. Yep. So basically, what that was is if you can get 9 states to sign on,
7.
I was told 9. Okay. Well, if it's 7 or 9, regardless, at one point there was word that there was 11. And then when they finally got to report, there was only six, which obviously did not meet the cutoff to unbind delegates and roll into utter chaos. So our former attorney general, who was the state delegation chair of Virginia, which that's a whole other issue, he picked up his credentials and threw them on the floor like a child in their terrible twos. So that was embarrassing, to say the least, for the Virginia delegation.
But didn't he do that for the drama? And didn't he get a lot? I mean, you wouldn't know this because you were there, but he got a lot of press for that.
Yeah.
He did, and I'm sure it was by design, but I'm thinking maybe he wasn't on meds or something, because the next morning at breakfast, he walks up to the podium in our only state delegation in our hotel in the breakfast, taps the mic and says, "This is the voice of God." So, I mean, seriously, something's up with that guy. Don't know what.
Okay.
Well, I actually got to chat with him at the after party, if you will, back at the hotel that evening. From what I gather, that was actually, as much as as much as there might have been showmanship, he moved on quickly, but he was, his temper snapped. He was furious at what happened. And if you were in the hall on Monday, you would have noticed that there was an awful lot of stalling. The house band got an awful lot of time. And from what I heard, they had, 9 or 10 states sign on to this petition to have a roll call vote on whether or not to pass the new rules. And I'm pretty sure that stalling was the party leadership trying to badger enough people to take their names off so that they wouldn't have the roll call vote.
Yes,
I was told that the secretary of the actual committee was held by armed guard and protected. So I heard there were some, shenanigans to that. But every convention has this happen. I'm sure we'll see it next week too. Week too. Mm-hmm. So.
Were there any speeches that you were like, "I am just so proud to be here, and this will stick out forever"? That's A. This is a two-part question. And B, were there any speeches that you just looked around and were like, "What the hell am I doing here?" Because the Steve King speech where he says, "Hey, white people are just awesome." That speech, I can't imagine everyone without looking around going, "What are we doing here?"
What was the exact quote that he got a lot of heat for?
I believe his exact words were, "No other group has advanced civilization as much as white people did," or something that.
That's exactly pretty much what it was.
Nothing racist about that.
I will say my most favorite.
Yeah, we'll start with positive. What was your most favorite?
Peter Thiel, the founder of PayPal. I think he was incredible. I think he's one of the only openly gay people, I think, to ever speak at the RNC, which I think was incredible, and I was very excited about. And I mean, I was overwhelmed. He was a great speaker. And least favorite would be Melania Trump. Someone should have just kept her in her hotel room and given her a bottle of vodka.
Here's what got lost in that. And you know what? We're making fun of Melania Trump. I'm sure she's a nice woman. She's not a public figure. But what has gotten lost in all of this was she actually did lift that material knowingly from Michelle Obama. Because if you believe the public story, if you believe the official story, she told it to her writer
phone. Kevin, stop.
Okay.
Kevin, stop. Nobody believes the public story, so don't worry about it.
Okay. Well, you know what? I don't either. Nobody so what do you think story. Happened? What do you think happened?
I would like Cliff to answer the question before I will begin my riff on this convention. Cliff,
okay.
Positive and negative. And
best speech in my mind, Giuliani.
He gave an amazing
speech.
Okay.
And I say that partially because I was in the room for that, and witnessing the dynamic between him and the crowd did wonders.
Okay.
So that was my favorite speech. I'm going to have to agree on the Melania.
Really? She really turned you guys off? I mean, or was I don't want to use the word dead fish or cold fish, but was it just because she's just non-political, or?
Well, the lines from "Never Gonna Give You Up" were pretty obvious. I remember shooting messages to some friends poking a bit of fun at this as the speech was going on, just because it was did I actually just hear that? She did an admirable job. I know English is not her first language.
Oh, but she did a fine job.
Yeah,
I mean, you should hear my Slovenian.
Oh, Jesus!
It's really quite bad.
Okay. Right. So, DJ, what's your take as the former Republican, now a libertarian slash God knows what, who was not voting for Trump? What was your take on it?
I am a capital L libertarian supporting Gary Johnson, and this week made me feel really glad in my decision to leave the party, and I will tell you why. First of all, the organization was a complete mess. Iowa and Colorado walked out on Monday. And of course, as we all now know, not only could the speechwriters not steal somebody else's speech without getting caught, but they couldn't agree that who should be thrown under the bus until 2 days later. then comes Tuesday, where the nomination count comes in, and the delegates from the District of Columbia find out that they all voted for Trump, despite not a single one of them actually pledged to him,
right,
and various other shenanigans that went on in the count.
Right.
Wednesday, of course, is the fact that Ted Cruz got booed for saying "vote your conscience." Nice job, fellas. And then, of course, Thursday, where Trump came up and gave what was probably the vaguest pile of dreck that I have ever seen, read, or heard from a nominee at a convention. The only thing he was specific on was the rank protectionism that has been his stock and trade. Yes, I used the pun. Go suck it. For over 25 years. This was a complete embarrassment. And the fact that Rudy Giuliani, who has now veered way off of his national healer phase and back to his divisive mayor 1990s phase, managed to get such a response from the crowd, and that Trump got such a response from the crowd in his speech, says more about those delegates, and not in a good way, than it says about any of those speakers. But the fact of the matter is, this is a ticket, and this is a party that has clearly shown they are not interested in governing, and they are not ready for governing. Conventions are supposed to advance the party, advance the ticket forward to the people. This did none of that. And it says something. Not only, as far as I can tell, the only poll that actually had Trump ahead, the much maligned Rasmussen poll, actually had Trump's lead shrink during the convention. This will get him no bounce.
I didn't know that.
Anything he may have gained out of it was wiped out by the fact that he went back to the conspiracy theory on Ted Cruz. And by the time Hillary Clinton announced that Tim Kaine was his running mate, basically the convention was only remembered by those who would rather forget it.
And you forgot Scott Baio and Anthony Sabato Jr. screaming about Muslims, Benghazi mothers. I mean, it was kind of a mess. With all that said, I really, and I don't mean this sarcastically, I'm glad Emily and Cliff got a chance to experience an RNC because they are kind of cool.
But oh, it's great. It's great.
It was a mess, like DJ said.
I just want to throw in here that if, for those who've been longtime listeners, you know that DJ and I started this podcast at very opposite ends of the political spectrum, he being a conservative Republican, me being a moderate liberal Democrat. But DJ, week by week, you become one of my favorite people, and I am toasting you. I am lifting a glass of Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. So let's clink right now.
There you go.
This week's podcast is brought to you by Tequila, Vodka, and Fireball.
This week's podcast is brought to you by Fireball Whiskey, whether they know it or not.
So I think one of the several things that was going on, too, there, and I didn't hear anything from Trump that he hasn't said in all his stump speeches repetitively. And, you know, this was really his opportunity for me to stand up and really say something a little bit different. And I was really let down. You know, I was giving some hope, I think, to the thought that something could happen different, or maybe he would just throw up his hands and say, "Hey guys, you know, I've been acting like a little bit of an ass. Let me just come full circle and tell you I'm serious. I'm becoming serious. I've been holding out hope way too long, haven't I, DJ?"
Yes, I grew up in Jersey. Kevin grew up in Nassau County, and we can both tell you this is Donald Trump when he's serious. This is the serious Donald Trump. This is who he is. There is no other version. There is no nicer version.
Better.
There is no self-aware version. No, this is him. This has been Donald Trump for 30 years.
Well, yeah, I mean,
what you see,
is what you get. Because the truth is, there's about three or four different Donald Trumps. And I've been reading articles that are actually, I'm getting that idea from the articles I read. But, you know, apparently people who know him in person find him to be charming, find him to be just the opposite of what we're seeing on television. But it's not that he doesn't know who he is. There's several different versions of him. And this is him. And he is a mean-spirited man. He is a bully, as DJ kind of referenced with this cruise ridiculousness that continues on. Sorry, Cliff. I know that you were voting
Cliff,
for the guy.
Jump in, Cliff.
You know, and I'm not saying he's a bad human being. I'm not one of these people that wants to take this election into the dumpster. But, you know, just in terms of who he is as a politician and what he stands for, there's no there, in my opinion.
No. We hear what you're saying. You're like, John Wayne Gacy, you know, performed at children's parties. And he was great.
Several of those parties went very well.
And he was very professional. He made a lot of children laugh,
Okay. In all
and
fairness,
this is the moment where I need another drink. Give me a few minutes, fellas.
In all fairness, look,
you're verklempt.
Cliff is revisiting us. He was on several weeks ago, and one of the reasons, aside from the fact that we like him so much, but one of the reasons that we brought him back is because the podcast was missing that point of view. So, Cliff, tell us what you liked, I assume, about the speech and why you're still a Trump supporter.
Well, okay. I mean, it's true. He didn't say much new, but this was, he used the speech to restate what he'd stated before and in some cases to elaborate on it. He actually used a script, which, as we all know, is not what he usually does at his rallies. And he mostly stuck to it. There were a few points where he joined in the USA, USA chants, but that was about the only real diversion. In a sense, nothing has changed for me since this spring, much as nothing has changed, in y'all's eyes as well. You know, he's still putting the same message out there. He's actually more or less sticking to the general message. I like the law and order line. Yes, I know it has shades of Nixon, which doesn't exactly thrill some people, but I think it's an effective message this year with everything that's going on.
Well, Cliff, tell me why it's effective for you. Tell me again. We explored this last time you were on. What is it about Trump that, not just that he's a Republican, but what is it about him as a leader that's grabbing you?
What is it about him as a leader that's grabbing me? Trump is willing to say a lot of stuff that are, the quote-unquote official leadership, if you will, whether of the party or of the country, is unwilling to say. A handy example being, name it as radical Islam.
Well, no, everybody in the Republican Party says that. No, the Democrats don't, but everyone in the Republican Party does.
I will say you've got at least some people up there who have been clearly dragging their feet and are only going along with this under duress. But they're not willing. There's a large swath of the leadership of this country that is not willing to stand up on radical Islam. Or on trade, where, one thing that actually struck me was the Alliance of American Manufacturers actually had a large tent outside the convention hall. And they, they were offering free drinks each night. They're arguably a protectionist group. The idea of seeing a group, a protectionist lobby outside the Republican Party convention 12 years ago would have stunned everybody, because that was when we wanted to bring China into the WTO. Trump's at least willing to say, China's cheating, we need to call them on it, when everybody else is trying to finesse the issue and maybe send something quietly through the WTO that'll take 10 years to bear any fruit.
Hold it. Cliff, I got to stop you there. No one is talking about the WTO. They're talking about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, of which China is not a member. All right, I've been railing about communist China's nefariousness for years, if not decades, before Donald Trump even noticed it once he took his gaze off of Mexico, which he never really did. He still has an eye on Mexico these days. This is not about whether or not how the Chinese Communist Party treats the rest of the world. This is about Donald Trump and the National Association of Protectionist Manufacturers. And there's no argue about it. They've been a protectionist organization for decades. This is about these people essentially trying to convince Americans that all trade and all free trade is bad. It's not just about communist China. Trump rails about Japan and Mexico far more than he ever rails about communist China. And when he does rail about communist China, he talks about, I can make better deals. He uses his real fire and his real anger for the Republic of Mexico and for the Empire of Japan. Communist China has been an afterthought that he has thrown on because he realizes that it gets people's attention.
We have some other things going on in Virginia that we kind of forgot about.
Yes. Like, for instance, the Democrats.
Yes.
They're also in this election.
Yay! And they, it's a big week.
And Hillary picked a vice presidential running mate this week. What do you guys think about Citizen
Kane? Did you get a text, Kevin, from Hillary herself?
No, I didn't. I'm really pissed off because I have already spent $250 on this campaign, and I didn't get the email. I got a text
and an email because it was my birthday on Thursday, I didn't get a gift from any of you guys. But I did get – I got a text the day that she goes, Greg, it's your friend Hillary, and I want you to be the first to know I picked Tim Kaine. And then the New York Times, because
Kevin,
as we all know –
Yeah, Kevin is so jealous. Greg got the love letter from Hillary Clinton.
I am very jealous. I want to know what I did
then,
wrong.
And then it said underneath it, it said, do you like me? It was a mash note. So, it was awesome.
So what do you guys think of the Kane pick? As you know, I was for Warren. I respect Hillary. I'm going to support her ticket, obviously. But I cannot avoid acknowledging that I'm still disappointed.
What do you guys think?
Well,
Safe choice.
I'll go first. Yeah, I don't think it was a safe choice. I think it was a mistake. Again, I'm going to support the ticket. I'm going to work for the ticket. I'm going to advocate for the ticket. I still think, and let's see what happens this week. I think she left herself vulnerable to the left wing of the party. I think that this is a base election. I think that turnout is going to be more important than reaching into the independent side of the electorate. I think that she's going to hurt her turnout among millennials. I think she's going to hurt her turnout among Bernie or bust people. And so my fear is there were two competing strategies going. She clearly picked one over the other. I hope she picked the right one, but my fear is that she didn't.
I mean, I hope she picked the wrong one, obviously, but I think she, you know, yeah, as you said, There was the option to go for the base choice or to go for somebody to reach out to the center. But I think there's also – Tim Kaine is not the kind of guy to put his foot in his mouth left, right, and center. So she went with a safe pick in the sense of do no harm. He's not going to turn anybody on, but he's not going to turn anybody off. And I think she's banking on there being enough people on the left who really, really, really do not like Donald Trump, you know, turning out regardless, that she doesn't need to go any further in jazzing them up.
Three of our members here live in Virginia. Tim Kaine is the former governor of Virginia, now a senator of Virginia. And there is
he was a mayor also in Richmond.
There is a some you know, possibly breaking scandal or controversy, I should say, about his acceptance of gifts while he was the lieutenant governor and governor. I'd love the people from Virginia to speak to that. Apparently it was legal. But boy, the conflict of interest.
So I sat through the gift giving scenario when they went over it. The Democrats and Republicans, the leaders of both our parties here in the Senate, sat down, and I sat through the committee hearing of where they went over and they decided gift giving procedures this past session, which was like watching paint on a wall dry. But the problem has always been in Virginia, the laws are so lax. Anything could be a gift, just about. You know, there's so much that can be called into question because our laws have always lagged behind many other states. So, and I'll pass it to DJ.
There is a phrase that is used very often here in Virginia, particularly in Richmond, that I think is apropos. If you can't drink their wine, eat their meals, thank them for their gifts, and then vote against them in the Capitol, then you have no business being here. That is essentially the way we have handled things here in Virginia. And the fact that this very sort of thing was essentially tossed out on its ear by the Supreme Court in the Bob McDonnell case as a, are you really telling me that this is criminal? Have you completely lost your effing minds? Is, I think, a sign that this is really, really weak. The fact of the matter is what Tim Kaine does is Tim Kaine reassures independents and soft Republicans who don't want to vote for Trump, who can't stand voting for Trump, and who I can't convince to vote for Gary Johnson, but for whatever reason are very, very concerned about – are very funny – who are very concerned about Hillary. This is not a base election. There is no such thing as a base election. There is not the existence of such an animal. I'm sorry. Everyone talks about 2008 as the great base election. It wasn't. One in six Bush 04 voters put the lever for Barack Obama in 2008. That's how he won the election. You win the election by winning over centrist voters. Mrs. Clinton understands that in a way that Donald Trump does not, because, frankly, Donald Trump can't find the center with a frickin' magnifying glass. The simple fact of the matter is this is a nomination that appeals to normal people. And since the five of us really aren't normal, we don't quite understand that. So it gets us upset. But yeah, to actual normal voters, they'll look and they'll go, okay, this guy has experience as a senator, his experience as a governor, he has experience as a mayor, so he has local experience, so he can address some of the law enforcement stuff that's been going on lately. He talks like a normal person. He doesn't talk like a robot. He clearly is not a lizard, which is a problem with Syria, just about everybody else who seems to be running. That he's a decent guy. And it actually it goes to what vice presidential nominees have actually been over the last 25 years. They're not used as geographical balance anymore, although Kane does fulfill that. They're not even used as ideological balance anymore. They're used as a way to reassure voters that there is somebody there who is either smarter than the presidential nominee or more of a real person perceived than the presidential nominee. Tim Kaine does more of the latter than the former, because I don't think anyone says Hillary Clinton is dumb. But he reaches voters that Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and maybe even Julian Castro can't do. He's been underestimated here in Virginia three times, and he's beaten that underestimation every time. He is the only candidate now, except he's the only statewide office holder who has been elected by a majority, except for Ralph Northam, the lieutenant governor. He ran ahead of Barack Obama in Virginia in 2012. He has essentially, in my opinion, locks down this state because so many Republicans are now going to be more focused on replacing him in the upcoming Senate election than beating him for vice president. This is exactly the right thing for her to do. If Hillary Clinton loses a vote to Jill Stein but gains a vote from Donald Trump at the same time, she has not lost anything, but Donald Trump has lost a vote.
Wow.
Which means relatively she comes out ahead.
Great analysis.
And that's what she figured out.
Great, great point. Greg, since you're the liberal Democrat, what did you think of the Kaine pick?
Well, you know, I agree on everything that DJ said, which is doesn't happen all the time. Once you're in the general, you don't appeal to the base anymore. You don't send flyers. You don't send stuff to the Democrats. You send it to swing voters. There's no reason to. And you don't send it to hardcore to the hardcore opposition. You want to go for that middle ground. And that's exactly what she's doing, Hillary. I like Kaine, in addition to all those things before, he's a former GNC chair, which a lot of people, and he plays a harmonica. I mean, he is that, oh gosh, which a lot, oh, and he's a tenor. He sings, by the way, which not a lot of people know.
I'm friends with a lot of elected officials or former elected officials in Virginia, and like literally every person has done a status. Politics aside, Tim Kaine's an amazing man. Right. So I'm like, damn it.
Right. And it's not like – when you put him up against Pence has all these rulings and like, oh, in Indiana, he just did this and he has this law that he just signed in and he went up against the LGBT community and he just was trying to jail women who had miscarriages. And I mean, it's just one thing after another, controversial. And even if Mike Pence is a decent human being, and he is probably a decent human being, he's such a figurehead or a masthead of controversy and angst. And God, what an asshole. Not like Kasich is an asshole.
Okay.
You didn't think I'd get that in, but I did.
We're looking to wrap up the show. So we have the DNC, the Democratic Convention, starting tomorrow. We tape on Sunday nights. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who we call Debbie Downer, lost her job today. She had to resign.
Bye-bye.
But I'm going to wrap this up into one big predictions for the week. But I'm going to go to Cliff first and say, what are you looking for this week, Cliff?
Fireworks. Lots and lots of fireworks.
In what regard?
I think there are quite a few Sanders people who, even though they've gotten a lot of what they wanted, they even got the superdelegate reform on the table, you got a lot of people who just aren't on board with Hillary. And just as you saw some free fireworks on Monday at the Republican convention when, you know, Mitch McConnell got booed and so on and so forth, I think you'll see something similar at the DNC, only on a slightly larger scale inside.
DJ?
I think what we're going to see is we'll see some interesting things on perhaps Monday or Tuesday, but I think Mrs. Clinton and Tim Kaine will get a – I think they're going to get a large bounce out of the Democratic convention, and I think by the time we have this discussion, you will see polls that have her lead back in double digits.
Greg?
This week, and as much as I said I enjoyed, you know, the theme and whatnot, the RNC was a lot of fear-mongering. And Giuliani's speech was great, but it was quick, grab your guns and shit because someone's coming for it. Christie was the same thing. Everyone, the only thing we were missing this year was an empty chair, someone screaming at it. But it was a lot of fear-mongering. It was a lot, which was supposed to be like,
Greg,
hey.
Greg, you've done a great job predicting the past. Can we have a prediction of the future, please?
That's the point. This next week, what we're going to see and what I hope to see is the exact opposite. We're going to see, hey, you know what's really great about America and what's awesome is, hey, this is the unemployed and this is where we were 8 years ago and this is where we are. You know what's awesome? We are. You know what? We're going to scream USA and we're going to mean it because we're awesome. You know, we're going to have Jack Black doing guitar solos with Beyonce and, you know, it's going to be just amazing. And we're going to have A-list celebrities, not Scott Baio. You know, it's going to be
awesome. Okay, we got it. Okay.
It is. Yeah.
I'm going to jump in and say I agree with Cliff. I think that there's going to be a lot of discord, even more so than there was at the RNC. I think the combination of the pick of Tim Kaine and the Debbie Wasserman Schultz email, DNC email scandal, is going to lead a lot of the Sanders, the Bernie or Bust people, to make a stink. I think we're going to see a great night on Wednesday when we have President Obama, Vice President Joe Biden, Bill Clinton, and Tim Kaine speaking. I think that's going to be an amazing night. And I think, frankly, a lot of people are going to feel a little let down on Thursday, even though I'm sure Hillary will do her best. She's not up to those standards. Emily?
I think it's going to be very similar to the Republican convention. You know, protesters were supposed to be outlandish. It was very minimal. I think on the inside of the hall, it's going to be, you know, a slight, you know, snafu maybe on Monday or Tuesday. And after that, everyone's going to say kumbaya and go home.
And with that, Emily, you want to take us home?
Amen.
I will. So we've had a great show tonight, guys. I just want to leave us with make sure you find us on the web at moreperfectunionpodcast.com. Like us on Facebook. Rate and review us on iTunes. And if you really, really, really love us, you can inbox us, and we would love some mixed drinks for our next show. Anyways, with that, we all say good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Have a great week.
Good night and keep drinking.